From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in 1989 when the Genesee Valley Organic CSA was formed. Now consider this, in 2016, you can still run into people all the time who don't know what a CSA is or what it stands for. Imagine 1989 when the term was barely known anywhere. Well, the Genesee Valley Organic CSA started with 29 chairs. It expanded to 160 chairs over the next decade. People like Elizabeth Henderson helped expand the movement, and they have been committed to more than just an economic relationship with CSA customers. If you join a CSA, yes, you pay, you get the farm's food, but you also learn. You learn about farm life, about how the weather impacts the crop, how climate change is impacting their work, and more. New York farms are celebrating National CSA Day tomorrow, and this is sign-up season, so we've asked a panel to come in. Talk CSA, talk agriculture, talk food with us. Let me welcome my guests for the hour. Ruth Blackwell is here from Mud Creek Farm in Victor. Ruth, welcome.
Thanks.
Eli Rubin is here from Peacework Farm in Newark. Eli, welcome to you.
Thank you.
Andy Fellens from Fellens Family Farm in Phelps. Andy, nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Thank you.
Kyle Stevens is here from Lehigh Valley Outpost in Rush, Henrietta Falls. We were joking before the hour that you can't just be Rush anymore. It's got to be Rush Henrietta, Rush HFL.
Right. That's correct.
So are you in the village of Honeyoy Falls?
No, we're actually in the town of Rush, but it's a Honeyoy Falls mailing address right on the border.
Very good. Great to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
All right, let's just quick snapshot here. Ruth, your CSA, first of all, sign-up season open at Mud Creek?
Yes, it is.
I figured it was. How big? How many people are involved?
How many workers?
How many customers typically you have in CSA?
We're shooting for 200 full share equivalent members this year. We have full shares and half shares. The half shares pick up every other week, so two half shares equal full share.
Shooting for 200, though.
Shooting for 200.
Okay, Eli from Peacework Farm, how many customers out of Peacework?
Pretty similar, actually. Between 150 and 200 would do us pretty good.
Okay, Andy?
We'll have about 200 shares, but with families sharing shares, we end up with about 225 members.
Okay. Yeah. And Kyle?
We our target for this year is 150 combination shares between full and half shares.
Right. So a lot of similarity in size from what we're seeing here. And Ruth reached out to me a few weeks ago to mention that something was happening, I think it's tomorrow, that I had not heard of, which is a National CSA Day. This is sort of a new thing.
Yeah, this is the second year they're doing it. Somebody from, was it Small Farm Central?
Mm-hmm.
They did a study.
Is that a national outfit?
Yeah, that's right.
I think so, yeah. They did a study and found out that the most popular CSA sign-up day was the last day of February. And that's really about the time when CSAs need people to sign up. So they decided to make it a national holiday. And this is the second year, and there seems to be a lot more interest even just in 1 year. So it's a cool thing.
We already have a lot of feedback from listeners online about their experiences with CSA, most very positive, some looking for ways to improve. We're going to work through some of your comments that have come in on Twitter already throughout the hour. It's at Evan Dawson on Twitter. You can find our producer there as well, MMacMedia, that's Megan Mack on Twitter. You can also call the program, 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. Or 263-WXXI, if you're in Rochester, 263-9994, to talk about your experience with CSA. Now, Ruth, for me, CSA is a term that I've heard now for a number of years, but you can still find plenty of people who aren't aware of it, right? Part of the outreach, I think, from Small Farm Central is to make sure more and more people are aware of it, yes?
Yeah, and it always surprises me, but it's hopeful to me that I run into people all the time who ask me what I do, and I tell them I'm a farmer and I run a CSA, and they ask me what that is. And it just points out to me that the market is nowhere near saturated. Like, we have plenty of space to sign up more people, and it's a good thing, I think.
It's a healthy scenario. So let's kind of go around the table and find out what each of the individual CSAs entails, because obviously it's different farm to farm, and pickups, what kind of produce, et cetera. So Mud Creek Farm is in Victor.
Yep.
And Ruth, what does the CSA entail for you guys?
Well, we have an on-farm pickup, which isn't always the same for everybody.
Mm-hmm. So if I'm in your CSA, I'm picking it up at the farm.
You're picking it up at the farm.
Okay.
Our farm is on Cherry Street in Victor, so it's a little bit outside of the village. And members pick up on either Thursday or Monday evenings between 4:30 and 7. And the reason we have on-farm pickup is that we also offer a big pick your own section to members. So members come pick up their share. We have it all laid out and harvested for them, like in a long line. They pick up their own share, and then they can go out in the field and pick beans or cherry tomatoes or flowers or whatever they want. They can also come and pick in that section whenever they want. Doesn't have to be when they pick up their share. The reason we did that is that the pick your own section is really a place for people to learn where their food comes from, introduce their kids to where their food comes from, and it's just sort of an oasis away from everyday life where they can feel like they're part of their farm.
Sure. And I think, let me just keep going around the table, but we're going to come back to that point because what Ruth just mentioned there, maybe a little more convenient for Mud Creek to have customers come to her, but at the same time, that relationship, that seeing the farm, that understanding what happens, is at the core of this. And what she just described is kind of at the heart of that conversation. So we'll come back to that in a second. Eli Rubin from Piecework Farm in Newark, how is the CSA structured?
So our farm's in a little bit different situation because Newark is about an hour, 45 minutes away from the city. So instead of having members come to the farm to pick up their share every week, we actually bring the shares right into the city, and we have a great relationship with Abundance Natural Foods Co-op in the city. And so we bring our produce there twice a week for a pickup in the city. But really important to our CSA is the connection that the consumers and the farmers all share with the land. And so to help facilitate that, we have a work component to the share. So every member comes out to the farm. This year it's going to be every member comes out to the farm only once is kind of like the minimum, but many members come, you know, very often and actually spend a whole morning working with us. And we find that that is a really great community building and a really great way for us to get to know our consumers better, or our members better, and for the members to really get an idea of the work that's involved in putting out the produce. And then every week when they are at Abundance and they see all the boxes of produce and they pick it up, they really understand what it took to make those boxes, because those were they in another week made those boxes.
All right, Andy Fellens from Fellens Family Farm in Phelps, what does your CSA entail?
We're a little bit different than some of the other CSAs in the area in that we include fruit in our shares in addition to the vegetables. And we have four delivery locations in addition to the farm at the Brighton Farmers Market, in Pittsford at the Church of the Transfiguration, in Canandaigua at the Unitarian Universalist Church, and in Geneva at the Trinity Church. And we strive to be flexible and accommodating to our members. We offer season lengths that vary from 4 weeks to 34 weeks for members, depending upon location. We offer three share sizes, and we try to offer a lot of choice in the shares. Some CSAs go with a box type model where you get a box of produce each week, and we have a hybrid model where you can, some of the produce is the same for everyone, but we also set up, it's like a farmer's market at our delivery locations, and members choose several items to supplement their share. We also partner with several other farms, and we'll have other farms come to our distributions anywhere from every other week to once or twice a season, and they'll bring items like poultry, different meats. We've had people bring honey, people bring salmon. That's just,
wow.
It runs the gamut of what we can partner with, and we're always looking for opportunities to partner with other farms and introduce their products to our CSA members. And we also participate in NOFA New York's Neighborhood Farm Share program for people on limited incomes. It's a share subsidy program.
All right, so that's another subject that I want to get to, because a few of our listeners on Twitter have already asked about that. So we'll get there as well in just a moment here. I will also say, I want to read Seth's comment from Twitter. He says, I belong to a CSA. I like fruits and veggies and supporting local business and agriculture. Plus, my CSA does fruit, so bonus points. It's like half the people on Twitter are mentioning, oh my gosh, if you do fruit, it's like putting candy in a CSA. It's sort of this amazing thing. You mentioned you do fruit. I guess it's a big draw for a lot of people.
It is. We start with strawberries in June, go to raspberries, and then we're into tree fruit through the rest of the season, and we also come back to raspberries in the fall.
This is not to disparage those who don't do fruit. I'm just observing the comments. People are like, wow, fruit. It's really sort of an interesting thing. Kyle Stevens from Lehigh Valley Outpost. Again, that's Rush, Town of Rush, and Lehigh Valley Outpost CSA is structured how, Kyle?
Well, I hate to be repetitive, but our farm is definitely a little different than than most. First, our area is so blessed to have dynamic farmers like this panel here. I mean, these are some of the finest farmers I've ever come across. So our area is really fortunate to have a lot of very talented farmers. And so our model is a little bit different. We're not a standalone CSA. We don't take our products to market. But we supplement our income through agritourism. So our farm basically was established on the premise of teaching children the gift of giving without the expectation of return, and understanding where food comes from and having an opportunity to give back to the community. So what our mission is that we fund our budget through agritourism activities, school groups, special interest groups, corporate, field trips to the farm, our corn maize and pumpkin patch in the fall, and then our program with our CSA in the summer. All of our surplus, rather than to take it to market, we donate. We donate to local food pantries. So the it's definitely a different kind of a situation, the way we operate in comparison to some of the other ones. Our food, basically our CSA, we have two pickups at the farm, Thursday afternoons and Saturday mornings. This year we're partnering with Schutz Apple Mill in Penfield, offering a pickup there as well. That'll be a Wednesday. We do some corporate pickup locations where we go right to a corporation and we distribute food there at their location. So people that have fixed time limits, they can just get their food right at the office and go home. This way we distribute our food through the CSA. Any remote pickups are box format, but anybody that visits the farm, it's an a la carte style where they have a selection, a choice of what they want. However, I will say that being that this is our third year offering a CSA, the range of items that, that we all grow is so immense. And I mean, it's really staggering. So there is a definite indicator that, when it comes to like fruit, that there's a lot of interest in more of the staple items. And so this year, our focus is to strategically partner with a couple other local farms so that we can have some more of those staple
like
items.
Like Schutz, for example?
Like Schutz, yeah. They're not an organic farm, nor are we. We do take the NOFA pledge, so to have apples and to have peaches and cherries and things like that, like Andy provides. We do some raspberries and some melons and things like that, but that's really not what we're really good at,
I just also want to jump in and say I love the mission of teaching kids to give without an expectation of return.
Yeah, and it really, what happened was, is the long story behind it is that, about 7 years ago, I had the opportunity to teach my daughter and my son, who were very young at the time, the opportunity to give to someone just because, you love them even though you don't know them. And so what happened was, is we took this benevolent endeavor and we started up a corn maze and pumpkin patch. And the goal was, is that, we'd invite the community to come. And if they didn't have enough money for pumpkins, we'd give them pumpkins. And the kids would invite their friends and they would just give pumpkins away. And we've given away thousands of pumpkins over the years. And, but as all things develop and, requirements for insurance and, a little bit more concise business plans then you have also the whole aspect of zoning and handling people come into play. We really looked at it and we realized that we didn't want to stray from our mission of being benevolent. So when we started the CSA, the focus was is that it's a funding source. It's an opportunity for others to be engaged in what we're doing, and then just to love people up. And so, you know, our donations to area food pantries vary substantially, but I mean, we've given thousands of pounds of food. So it's great.
That's great. That's great. Let's hit a question, or at least a comment that came in from April on Twitter on belonging to a CSA. She said, I would love to belong to a CSA, but don't have enough funds right now. And a few other of our listeners jumped in and said, I think there's help for that if, you know, in certain places. So let's address April's comment, and I'm sure she's not alone. Andy, you're already handing me something. Andy Fallon's from Fallon's Family Farm. What are you handing me?
NOFA New York, the Northeast Organic Farming Association of New York, operates a program called the Neighborhood Farm Share. This year it's in Rochester and Buffalo and the area surrounding Rochester. And there's several farms that participate in the program, and they offer up to $100 subsidy on share price. And if people are interested in it, they can go to the NOFA New York website and get an application there, or contact NOFA, and they can have an application sent to them.
Okay. Anybody else want to weigh in there just on helping out, Eli?
Yeah, and so Piecework also is set up to accept SNAP EBT tokens, and we have members that do that, and actually you can do that in conjunction with the NOFA Neighborhood Farm Share. So you can get quite a reduced out-of-pocket price for your share. And the other thing that we offer is payment plans. So it can be difficult to pay for all of your vegetables for a season up front. And so actually about half of our members pay quarterly. And I think that helps, you know, most people's budget.
All right. So for those paying for a full share, for example, what's the cost for, I guess, for a season, for a year?
Yeah, so that's another good point, that actually our CSA is set up on a sliding scale. And the basis behind that was that in our community, you know, the people make all kinds of different income levels, but we all share the desire for good, organic, fresh food. And so in a way to make it so that it can be affordable to everyone, we have kind of a built-in subsidized share price, which is $560 for our 26-week share. And that is only made possible because enough members are able to pay for our highest price, which is $850. And so in that way, our community can kind of help each other out and make it affordable to everyone. And then our middle share price is $710. So that's kind of what it goes for.
Eli's from Piecework out in Newark, and on Twitter, Matt writes to us, we've been members of Piecework Organic CSA since 1999. Great selection, terrific farmers. Nice endorsement. In fact, I'm seeing so many comments here just on Twitter. And again, I'm going to try to get through as many as we can here. I mean, Alex writes to us, says, I'm not a member of a CSA because I haven't picked one or figured out how to join. So, Alex, that's why they're here.
Yeah.
And this is the time of year. I know we're dealing with really junk weather this week, but we're not that far away. So Ruth, who's here from Mud Creek Farm in Victor, a year, or I guess a full share, give me a little sense for price breakdown at Mud Creek.
Sure. So we also do the sliding scale thing basically for the same reason. We have members who are, you know, have a pretty big yearly income, and they want to help people get food that they feel like they can get effortlessly and other people can't. So, you know, members who can afford to pay our upper share price are basically subsidizing members who need to pay the lower price.
And what's the upper share price?
So our full share is a sliding scale between $600 and $775. And that's 20 weeks of pickup and the limitless pick your own section. And then half shares pick up every other week, and that's between $340 and $440.
You know, the models that Eli and Ruth just talked about, we're talking about CSA, Community Supported Agriculture, but that's kind of like community supported community.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. I mean, it's
exactly what it is.
And I suspect that you have some customers who are willing to do that. I mean, I don't know how many, but that's great that people want to do that, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. And it's, you know, we just tell them it's there, and it's an honor system, and it works out. Like, people are people are completely.
We're too cynical sometimes, aren't we?
I know.
About the human race. I mean, sometimes deservedly so, but not always. Andy Fellens from Fellens Family Farm, if you want to sign up for a CSA there, what's it cost?
It depends upon the share size and the season length that you're selecting, and we also offer some flexibility if people are going to have pretty extensive travel plans and know they're going to be away for 3 or 4 weeks, that they can delete those weeks from the share or hopefully share them with a friend if they're out of town. But our share prices range from $15.20 a week up to $32 a week. And at the $15.20, a member gets 4 different things a week, and they select everything that they would like. At $32, they're getting 11 or 12 fruits and vegetables every week.
Okay. And Kyle?
The Lehigh Valley Outpost, the season for pickup is 20-week season. Half shares are roughly about $17.50 a week. Full shares are just a little bit over $30 a week. We offer, based on situation, we offer terms. We do take credit cards, and if people want to set up multiple payments, it's automatic payment on a credit card for their share. But we try to have no more than like 3 payments through the season. But it's amazing as I've gotten into this field. It's really striking to me the value that, you know, the members get in comparison to the cost. I mean, and though there's always a lot of interest, there seems to be hesitation at times with, you know, the idea of, well, geez, you know, it's going to cost $350 for the season, and which is it's at times, honestly, it's a tough sell. I mean, whereas they go to Wegmans and they'll spend $300 at Wegmans, and you know, and it's very common, and it's interesting to me how the pricing is all very similar across the board between CSAs, and it's hard to actually get members at times.
Well, and there are a number of comments coming in about prices as well. You know, one listener on Twitter says it's a good way to get a variety of fresh vegetables all summer long for a decent price. Others are saying, you know, I still don't know if I can afford it. And I hope you heard what Andy and what the group just said about helping people who feel like they can't afford it. But let me just pivot for one moment and just ask the group here. When we talk about what food costs, the price of food in a grocery store or the price of food on a farm, and cost and price are not the same thing, right? So I think there's two things that I would love for you guys to weigh in on. First of all, do you get tired of hearing people say it costs more to eat healthy food? Mm-hmm. And number two, should we essentially be willing to pay a little bit more? It's almost like we want everything to be cheap, cheap, cheap. And if it is, we don't investigate what that means. You know, we don't trace food back to its source. Why is it so cheap? Why is our clothing so cheap? Should we feel good about that? Sometimes if it's cheap, we don't ask questions. So I'm wondering, first of all, is it a misnomer that eating healthy is always more expensive? And second of all, do we need to be at least willing to pay a little bit more at times when it comes to food? Eli, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think a misnomer is a good way to put it. You know, the way that I like to describe it is that when we have a farm that sets up, you know, we set up an annual budget and we set up how many shares we need to make that budget, and that gets us our share price. That cost is the cost it takes to make that food. And so that's a fair representation. I mean, that is actually the cost of the food. When you're paying less than that, that's not a fair representation of what it costs to make that food. And I think that, and same with clothing and everything, the truth is when you're getting a deal that's too good to be true, that's absolutely what it is. And either someone's being taken advantage of, the environment's being taken advantage of, there's some system that is not reflecting the true cost of the goods sold. So it's not a question as much to me as, do I have to pay more for good food? This is the cost of real food, or you could pay less for, you know, less product.
Mm-hmm. Ruth?
Oh, that's a good point. I think of it the same way. And the other thing is all the hidden costs. So if you're paying less for cheap food that's being shipped from California, you're also eventually paying for the environmental damage that's taking a toll on the environment with the giant carbon footprint. The other thing is if you're buying the cheapest food out there, you're talking about the least healthy food. and you're going to end up spending more money on healthcare when you think about it. The other thing is that a CSA, I mean, I can only speak for myself, but I'm fairly certain we're all this way. Organic food is more expensive, and it is a little frustrating to me that it's become, people think of organic food as a thing for only rich people, when I think everybody should be able to have access to organic food because it's way more healthy. But when you're a CSA, you're saving some money because you don't need to ship your vegetables so far. So most CSAs pass that savings on to their customers. Like, if you bought the amount in one of our shares in the organic section of Wegmans, you would be spending probably, twice as much as you're spending for that share of vegetables.
Kyle?
You know, I think that, you know, in the way I look at it is that, you know, the blessing in it is that you're receiving produce. But when you're joining a CSA, you're really making the commitment to support your local farmer and to be a part of it. And it's an opportunity for them to be engaged in where food comes from, bring their children to the farm, experience, you know, what it's all about. And, in farming today, I mean, to be a small farm is next to impossible unless you have the community's support. And I'm sure Andy can, you know, give great data backing that up. I mean, and, you know, to do things organically, the cost, because it's all labor, the cost is so high that, without the community's support, you just simply couldn't do it.
Andy?
Well, I'm going to echo a little bit of what everyone else has said. And Ruth mentioned the difference in price looking at a CSA share versus buying a comparable basket at Wegmans. I'm fortunate that a lot of my members are also academics, and I had one member several years ago who did exactly that. She did a market basket study of her CSA share every week, and she let me know at the end of the season that compared to buying at Wegmans, and I don't mean to pick on Wegmans, but compared to buying at the grocery store, she saved several hundred dollars with her CSA share versus buying everything organic. A little bit more than if she had just bought conventional produce, but not significantly more. And the other thing she added is that she received items in her share that she had never had the opportunity to get anywhere else. And that was one of the things that was neat for her, is being introduced to new vegetables, and also with the community at the CSA being exposed to new ways to prepare her food. And she found a lot of value in those experiences. But the other point is, I challenge the assertion that it's more expensive. I think really a lot of times when people are saying it's more expensive, what they're doing is they're looking at cost of organic produce versus a processed food diet. And yes, organic, buying raw, healthful food could be more expensive sometimes than
mass-produced
food. Sure. Empty calories. Yeah. And but what do you want in the long term? You want to have food that's going to keep you healthy. And to Ruth's point, if you're eating a good diet that's composed of nutrient-dense, fresh food, that's going to serve you a lot better than eating empty calories.
Real food, not too much, mostly plants. Right?
Yep.
That's not my line. That's Michael Pollan. Tom in Pittsford wants to jump in with a question. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey there. Just kind of extending on your conversation right now. Could the panelists like comment on the difference between organic and IPM when it comes to fruit? Because I know that by some standards, like sometimes the CSAs are not offering like quote organic fruit in the shares, and I want to use them, but I also want to understand better what the difference might be between organic fruit at the grocery store and quote integrated pest management fruit in a CSA share.
Tom, thanks for the phone call. Andy Fellens, you want to take that?
Yeah. Organic, by definition, is IPM. integrated pest management is practice of you're not spraying by the calendar, you're doing field assessments to see what your pests are, and you're making management decisions based on the weather and the pests that you see in the field. And the big difference between a fruit that would be labeled IPM fruit and certified organic fruit is that the certified organic fruit hasn't been sprayed with any synthetic products. Anything that has been used as a crop protectant on that fruit is something that's allowed under the organic standard, whereas IPM fruit can use anything that's approved by the EPA for spraying. So there can be lots of synthetic materials and lots of materials that in some people's eyes can be fairly harmful that could be sprayed on the fruit.
Hope that answers your question there, Tom. And just a few comments from Twitter here. Mary Beth says, I don't belong to a CSA because I enjoy the activity of shopping at different farmers markets and finding a variety of farmers. Okay, that's a pretty good reason to say no. And Eric's got a question on value for single people. He says, people in their 20s seem like a perfect demo, but don't need as much as a family to justify the cost. So how do you work with someone who might be single? Because we're used to hearing the term family share. Ruth, you want to jump in first? Go ahead, from Mud Creek Farm. Go ahead.
Sure. And I think a lot of CSAs offer different share sizes. For us, we offer a half share, which is the same amount, but it's every other week. So people who want a little bit less, they get the same amount, but it'll last them for 2 weeks instead of one. The other thing that a lot of people do is they split a full share with somebody else, and they'll come together, or one person will pick up, and then they'll split it among themselves later. We do that. We allow that because it's easier for people to figure out exactly what they want among themselves rather than us trying to meet every single need and come up with 1,000 different share sizes.
Okay. Eli, Piecework Farm?
Yeah, definitely. We have shares that are probably split between four households, and people can figure out however much beets, carrots, or turnips they prefer, and it seems to work pretty good.
Okay. Kyle?
Our half share program is a weekly pickup. And quite honestly, it's a lot of food, but it's not unmanageable for a single person to consume that in the course of a week. We offer things like eggs and some other honey and some other items as well. And sometimes people will trade some value back and forth for those other items.
Okay, Andy Fallons.
Several years ago, we had members, and they were mainly older members, ask us if we could make a change from the share offerings that we had. And we started offering a micro share, which is four items a week. Members select exactly what they want every week, and that's fruit. It's also eggs if they want eggs, as well as the vegetables. And this year, what we've started to offer, in addition to the micro share, is we call it a swipe card, where people can buy a set amount of produce at the beginning of the year. And depending upon the week, they can select what makes sense for them that week. And we have several members who are doing that exclusively, and we also have a few members who've decided that the large share just isn't enough for them. So they bought a large share, and they've also bought a swipe card to go along with the large share.
Yeah. All right, so Eric, a great question there, and hope we got some answers there. St. John's Living on Twitter tells us they've got an event coming up on March 5th with MVP Healthcare for potential share owners to meet farmers and compare prices. Look at Andy Fallons has a sheet on that. He's handing it to me right away. Do you have everything? Is there anything you don't have, Andy Fallons? March 5th, 10 to 2 at St. John. It's at MVP Healthcare. It's a Join a CSA fair. So there you go. So lots of opportunities to learn. It's sign-up season. And the farms represented here are four farms, certainly highly regarded, but there's so many out there that could be here. We could have Lakestone Family Farm, and we could have, there's a million I could probably name. But the bottom line is it's great to have Mud Creek, Piecework, Fellens Family Farm, Lehigh Valley Outpost, all represented. Let's get a short break. Coming back to the phones, Rick and Victor, Ingrid and Penfield, questions that are coming in online. For the next 20 minutes, we're going to get as many as we can in as we talk CSA. Coming up in our second hour, local film critic Jack Garner joins us to talk about the Oscars. The Oscars are coming up on Sunday. Jack will weigh in with his picks for Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, and more. We'll also talk about the controversy surrounding the Oscars and the lack of diversity in the nominees. Jack Garner, next hour, talking Oscars.
Rocket engineer Bob Ebling tried and failed to stop the launch of the Space Shuttle Challenger.
And I think that was one of the mistakes that God made. He shouldn't have picked me for that job.
Those words prompted hundreds of listeners to write to Ebling about three decades of guilt, his response, and NASA's perspective. Later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4 on WXXI.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Rick and Victor wants to weigh in on what he says no one has mentioned yet. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, good afternoon. A couple things that I have not heard is there is a cost to, like, a CSA or a home garden, no matter where you get your vegetables, fruit, whatever. You have to prepare it. You have to either blanch it, freeze it, or prepare it, can it. There is a cost there that has not been mentioned. And the other thing is, In a prepared food, lack of preservatives means stuff goes bad faster and you have more waste. So I guess if you could address that, I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Rick. Let's work backwards there. Everyone wants to jump in. So you want to work backwards there on the lack of preservatives until you have more waste. Ruth wants to jump in from Mud Creek Farm. Go ahead.
Well, one of the things that makes me think of is that when you're buying fresh produce at the grocery store, it was harvested a long time ago. A lot of tomatoes you buy at the grocery store are harvested green, put in a room with ethylene gas to ripen them, and then, you know, shipped across the country or several countries. So when you're buying from a CSA, most of the things you're getting have been picked that day, which means they actually do last a very long time. I had a member send me a picture in the end of November of fresh spinach that she was eating the last of, and our last share went out at the end of October. So it lasted a month in her fridge. The other thing is, eating food with a bunch of preservatives in it isn't always that good an idea. So if you're interested in eating things that are more healthy for you, the less of that in there, the better.
Okay, Andy Fellens from Fellens Family Farm in Phelps.
Well, one thing I want to stress is that our weekly share is, it's fresh produce and it's designed to be consumed that week. It's not something that we're expecting our customers are going to be canning or preserving. We do offer bulk items through the season for our customers who like to can, but most of our members are eating their entire share that week.
Sure.
Or they may be blanching some greens and eating them in the next week or two.
And I take Rick's point, but it reminds me of, where did I see the cartoon this week of, it's a class reunion, and there's like an apple and like a banana, and they're like kind of rotten and sagging, and they're talking to the Twinkie, and they're like, you haven't aged at all. What's your secret? You know, I think we all know. Twinkie will be here long after the nuclear meltdown. Let me get back to the phones, and I think this is Ingrid in Penfield, but let me make sure I've got the right one here. Yeah, Ingrid, Penfield. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Hi. To answer your last caller, which isn't what I had planned, I have a good story about my CSA, which I absolutely love. I think they were open up right up until Christmas, and I went because the apples were 50% off, and I asked, what are you seeing is keeping the best? And they told me, and I bought a bushel, and I've still got 10 left. So they're doing beautifully.
Okay.
I didn't know if you were listening, if you could hear, but I wanted to encourage anyone who's listening to try a CSA. Last year was my first year. A bunch of our neighbors decided to do it, and we were like kids going to a birthday party when it was our CSA day. We would call each other up and say, today's the day, and we felt like we were being given gifts. And we began, I actually shared a half share with another small household. So we took turns picking up. We also exchanged recipes. I learned about foods I had never tried, and it was pretty much of a blast. So I'm really glad that this is taking off. And one other little thing I want to say is that the produce, what would you call the manager of the produce section at a large store, a large grocery store in our area, did tell me that the price of organic produce varies from store to store depending on customer demand. So the more of us who move over to organic and natural foods, the lower the prices are going to go. So I really do encourage everybody to try it. Thanks.
Ingrid, thanks very much for the phone call. And anybody who's been part of a CSA, maybe you're part of your office or just you at home, whether you're picking up or they're finding you, that can relate to what Ingrid said there. There is a hop in your step on CSA Day. And before I get back to some listener questions that have come in online, let me just ask Ruth to kind of expound a little bit more on where she started the hour, which is when people come out there, and Eli was mentioning this too, when people come out there on CSA Day to Mud Creek, as you said, you've got people of all different socioeconomic backgrounds, life backgrounds. So some people might have grown up with dirt under their fingernails, like Eli, who has the dirtiest hands of anyone who's ever been in the studio. I'm looking at him right now.
Eli
has some dirty hands, man. Those are really some. Don't touch anything. I'm mostly kidding. But but you've probably got people who've grown up with dirt under their fingernails and more accustomed to a farm life, and then you've probably got people who don't. And I wonder what they say to you. What have you heard from people who, when they see it up close?
It's fantastic. CSA Day is like a carnival every single time. It's great. People are coming out with their kids or grandkids. People stay for hours in the pick your own section. They'll come pick up their share right at the beginning of the CSA and then go pick, and they're walking out when it's dark, and I had no idea they were still there. It's fantastic. I have a pretty wide variety of people. I've got moms who are just learning about the organic thing and basically want to feed their kids healthy, but have a million questions, which I love answering, and are blown away every day by what they're learning. And their kids are, eating vegetables that they never would have eaten before because they picked them, so it's theirs, That's the main thing.
Yeah.
That's the main reason
that
we have
ownership. That's a huge one for kids, isn't
huge.
It?
Huge.
Yeah.
I have a member who's she owns a salon in Canandaigua, and she joined because she grew up on a dairy farm, but her daughter never farmed, and she wanted to join because she realized her grandson is like afraid of getting dirty, and she's like, all right, we're going, I'm bringing you out to the farm, and he loves it, and it's fantastic.
Eli, I was making fun of your hand. I wasn't making fun. I totally admire it. I mean, you clearly. You've got the hands of
this
a worker.
This is a little greenhouse project that we're actually in the middle of, right in Rochester, though.
What do people say at Peace Work, when they get a chance to see it up close?
Yeah, so I feel very fortunate that in the Peace Work model, 4 days of the week we work with just the farm crew, but 2 days a week we get between 4 and 6 members that come out and spend the morning with us. And it's a great visit, and we get to work alongside the people that eat the food that are part of our community, and everyone in our membership leads equally interesting and sometimes bizarre and sometimes alternative lifestyles. And so we get to talk and visit and at the same time share the work, and then we have this big huge lunch, and it's share a nice morning of work, have a nice big lunch, and then they head back into the city. But it really, at least from the farmer's standpoint, is a great great way to really connect with the people who are eating the food that you're growing. And I think equally, I know a lot of people bring their kids, bring their whole families, bring their friends when they're visiting to show them, like, oh, this is our farm, this is this great thing that we're a part of, and it's beautiful.
People
it's...
use that language. They say, that's our farm.
Absolutely.
And I love that.
Absolutely.
Phrase. I've
yeah.
done it many times.
And it is their farm.
Yeah, that's right.
And everyone gets to go home with dirty hands.
Just
and
like
it's a
that.
Good time.
Kyle from Lehigh Valley Outpost was smiling and nodding, and I just have to assume that there are so many things that you can't measure. Whether you belong to a CSA and then you're going there to pick up, or maybe even participating in some of the activities, or if you're going for agritourism, there's a lot of things you probably can't measure. But seeing what a farm looks like, the challenge that goes into it, even when you're there for an hour or two, getting a chance to ask about how weather impacts, climate, et cetera, how do you measure it? But you go home, and the next meal you may think about it more. The next time you're at the grocery store, you may be more mindful of what you're buying and where it came from. You might ask more questions. And I think that's probably a benefit that even if you can't measure it,
absolutely.
It's there.
Absolutely. You know, when we have our pickup days, we kind of set up a market-style environment, and that's really kind of the direction we're going, is where we'll have an actual farmer's market on our pickup day with other vendors and more activities for families to experience. But at our location, we have livestock, we have cattle, we do all-natural beef. We have chickens and goats and ducks and all that stuff. So there's activities for the kids, but what's really amazing is how many people will come up to us and comment about how they could never get their kids to eat any produce, but they'll always eat whatever they got from the farm. And though we don't require any labor from our members, we have loads of volunteers, and they come out and they'll help out, and they're just dynamic. And we encourage, in our UPIC area, we encourage people to come and bring their kids and work with the farmers. And because of the nature of our operation, we have the opportunity to be able to spend the time with them and really love them up. It's so rewarding. I feel honored to be able to be a part of it.
Well, here is a comment from a listener, Laura, who says that we did a CSA for one summer, loved it, discontinued it due to summer travel, leaving a lot uneaten, and she says, a little too much kale. Mm. You know, I'm sure you all get kale, sort of in vogue, but it still gets this bad rap here, But real briefly, how do you want to handle that? Because every one of you have had customers who say, we're getting a lot of X or we're getting a lot of Y. Andy, you want to jump in? Go ahead.
We try to handle it several ways. One is that we don't do a box program. All our members, part of the share is packed, and that's generally packed with staples, things that hardly anyone finds objectionable, and then they can select off the table for the balance, and they're choosing things that they really want that week. We also work with people if they have food allergies or other issues that prevent them from eating certain foods. We make sure that they can swap those out so that they don't have to take something that they really can't use. Our micro share is 100% choice, and we have several members who buy multiple micro shares because they want 100% choice. And as far as the vacation issue, what we've starting to do this year, and it's a trial program for us, is say we have a 30-week season. We're letting members buy less than 30 weeks of that season, and they just need to let us know that block of time that they're not going to be around, and we won't pack a share for them that week.
Okay. Anybody else want to jump in there? Yeah, Ruth?
Sure. That is one of the sort of restrictions of a CSA is you're eating with the seasons. So whatever is available that time of year, that's what you're getting. And in the spring, it's a lot of greens. One of the things we do is we just offer a lot more choice. So for an example, our greens, when we pick greens, we pick a whole bunch of different kinds of greens, and then our members, when they pick up their share, can choose, they get a pound or a pound and a half of greens, but they can pack whatever greens they want. So some people are on the kale bandwagon.
Absolutely.
And take all
chips, kale and smoothies.
Other people, they go for the rest, the escarole, the mustard greens, whatever it is.
But in the DNA of every farmer I've met, and they're not being as blunt today, but in the DNA of every farmer I've talked to, there's a little bit that says they don't exactly know how they feel about being able to, this expectation, this entitlement that we can walk into a grocery store and get everything on any day of the year of all colors, of all backgrounds. Sometimes that's not necessarily the natural order. And so maybe sometimes wading through those seasons, a lot of root vegetables during parts of the season, a lot of squash during parts of the season, a lot of greens parts of the season. That's kind of life, right, Eli?
I think that if a person were to try to grow all the food that they needed themselves for the year, they would quickly fall in love with kale. And the variety that we have in the supermarket and the extended availability is kind of amazing, but absolutely unrealistic to the natural, to the world that we live in. I mean, it's only possible because of extreme amounts of fossil fuel that we burn, and it's not going to be available forever, but it's not realistic.
The other thing is that that variety isn't actually that big a variety. When you think about it, there are two kinds of tomatoes at the grocery store,
right.
And they taste like cardboard.
That's right.
Whereas we can grow all these amazing heirlooms. The
freakish-looking things that have so much flavor.
That your grandmother grew.
The best.
And
the best.
Those don't ship across the country, which is why you can't get them in the grocery store.
Yeah, I think Ruth makes a great point there. The other thing is, a lot of times, actually with the CSA, you get more variety because you are truly eating with the seasons. And at the grocery store, variety sometimes is just a cover phrase for saying, I'm going to buy tomatoes and strawberries 12 months out of the year because I like tomatoes and strawberries. And with the CSA, you start to get into the rhythm of the seasons and really understand what can grow and then start to learn how to prepare it. And one of the things that struck me several years ago when my kids were younger is one of my kids came to me one day, it was late in August, and he just very seriously wanted to know when we were going to start to have fall food because he was getting tired of the summer stuff.
Mm. All right, well, I can't even get to all the tweets, emails, and phone calls, but let me close by saying there are a couple events coming up, and let me make sure I get it right. Saturday, March 5th from 10 to 2 at Brickstone by St. John, St. John Living. And you can check out stjohnsliving.org for more information. Also sponsored by MVP Healthcare, and that's on Elmwood Avenue. That's it's a CSA fair. Much more to learn there. And then on March 12th at the New York Wine and Culinary Center from 11 to 3, and looks like just a big list of farms there. Most of the guys you got here, and then many, many others who are not here today. So it's just been great talking CSA. Tried to get to as many comments as we could.
And tomorrow is National CSA Sign-Up Day.
Thank you for the reminder.
So I'll, go onto your farm's website. We're actually going to be at Abundance from noon till 6 tomorrow taking sign-ups. And make sure you go out and support your local farms.
Well, it's interesting to see how it's grown. But as Ruth Blackwell from Mud Creek Farm said earlier, there's still a lot of room for growth. So thanks for all of the farmers who are here today. Ruth, thank you. Great seeing you here. Eli, thanks for coming from Peacework.
Thank you.
Andy Fellens from Fellens Family Farm in Phelps. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you.
Kyle Stevens, Lehigh Valley Outpost. Great to talk to you, Kyle.
Thank you.
Short break. Jack Garner talking Oscars next.